turning to federal politics, and the independent member for Kooyong, Monique Ryan, will introduce a private members bill into Parliament later today to change the date of HEX indexation from the 1st of June to the 1st of November. She's released Parliamentary Budget Office costings, which show that students and graduates could save $3.2 billion in indexation over a decade if that date change were to happen. Monique Ryan joins me in the studio now. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Mel.
So take me through why the HEX indexation date should be changed. Talk me through the challenges it poses for students with debts.
Well, HEX indexation is the annual adjustment to graduates' HEX debt, and it's applied. The problem is that it's currently applied before repayments from the preceding financial year are applied to graduates' accounts. That means that they've been making payments to their HEX accounts over the course of the year. They've been garnished from their pay, but they haven't actually been applied to the balance. What that means is that you end up paying indexation, which is effectively interest, on debt that you've already repaid. You wouldn't accept that on your credit card, and you wouldn't accept it on your mortgage, but we're expecting graduates to basically end up paying back more than they should on the HEX debts. We already know that the HEX debts that Australian graduates have are holding them back. We're hearing that our birth rate is lower than it's ever been, that graduates are taking 10 to 12 years on average to pay back their HEX debts, that they're not being able to afford a home, much less start a family. And in a cost of living crisis, my feeling is that the government has created a cost of learning crisis with the cost of tertiary education in this country.
The government would point to some student debt relief measures it's already put in place, the 20% cut to debt tallies that we've seen, a change in the way the indexation is calculated to be the lowest of either CPI or wage price index. And I think we've heard Jason Clare acknowledge that there's still more to be done here. Do you have any sense of whether or not the government is willing to make the change that you're calling for here?
I asked Jason Clare about this in the House a couple of weeks ago, and he can't give us a time frame. He acknowledges the unfairness of the indexation. He's done that before. He's also acknowledged the unfairness of the Job Ready Graduate Scheme, which doubled the cost of arts, law, finance and economics degrees under Scott Morrison, but which has now been in place longer under Anthony Albanese than it was under Scott Morrison. And the problem is, if you are starting an arts degree or a law degree or a combined degree next year, you will be looking at a cost of $54,000 for an arts degree, $90,000 plus for a combined degree. And the changes that have been made thus far really don't make the significant inroads into those costs.
Again, Labor has indicated that it's aware and wants to deal with the issues around the Jobs Ready Graduates program. The government points to the fact that there's been some structural change it's put in place around the Australian Tertiary Education Commission that needs to take place first. So it seems the government is cognizant and willing to do something. Is it the timing that's really
It is absolutely the timing, and the fact that young people who finished degrees in the last few years or who are commencing degrees now are still being faced with a cost to those degrees which is excessive. Jason Clare has made some significant inroads into this, and I do believe that his heart is in the right place. But the fact is that the new Australian Tertiary Education Commission, as far as we know, has not yet been specifically tasked with the job of getting rid of job-ready graduates, and we don't have a timeline for that. We need that in this term of government.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where the independent MP for the seat of Kooyong in Victoria, Monique Ryan, is my guest. Monique, we're seeing the government introduce gambling advertising legislation to Parliament this week. This isn't the comprehensive ban that the Murphy Report called for, but it nonetheless does seek to limit the extent of gambling advertising. Will you be supporting it when it comes to a vote?
The legislation that the government will be proposing will be inadequate. But it will not protect young Australians from gambling harm. Saying that we'll only have three ads an hour instead of five or six or seven, yeah, there's no evidence that that will significantly decrease the harm to young people from gambling advertising. Putting an arbitrary limit on what time advertisements can be shown. Well, we know that kids watch their footy to the end of the last quarter. They don't turn off at a certain time because they're concerned that they might be exposed to gambling ads. The reality is that this is a milksop and the government has folded. It's listened more to the gambling industry, to sports broadcasters and to the sponsors than it has to what Australians want. The vast majority of people want gambling advertising to be outlawed entirely.
As disappointed as you are, you have a decision to make about whether or not to vote for it or against it.
I can't support something that won't work. And I won't support a half measure, which looks like a wave in the right direction, but won't achieve the desired end result. And so I won't support the legislation in its current form. I couldn't do that.
Just on a couple of other matters, we've seen some reporting on Nine newspapers and as well 60 Minutes about the attempts to clean up Victoria's Big Build program and the difficulties in doing so. It's showing that there are still large sums of money flowing from state and federally funded projects to the underworld, and payments are still being made this year, despite promises for quite some time now from the Victorian state government to clean that up. As a Victorian MP, how worried are you about these revelations?
I think that the systemic misconduct on the big build sites in Victoria will be what ultimately proves to bring down the Allan government. Yeah, we know that Geoffrey Watson estimated $15 billion worth of money have been wasted in the excessive costs on the big build sites due to the Labor government's relationship with and support of the CFMEU and its systemic corruption on those sites. I think the calls for a Royal Commission are appropriate. I think that we'll look back on this time as one where we've allowed the unions to take extraordinary advantage of Victorian people, and that's been to all of our cost.
Is there more that the federal government should be doing? We've heard Anthony Albanese and other senior members of the government point to efforts they've made to intervene in the CFMEU and how it is administered. But is this primarily something that needs to be dealt with at a state government level and a Royal Commission, or is there more that a federal government could do, in your view?
Well, the federal government shouldn't be propping up sites where there's systemic misconduct. And it shouldn't be providing funding for those. It's previously given funding to the Victorian State Government for some of these builds in the absence of independent analysis of the cost effectiveness of those measures, and it shouldn't be doing that. I think many people, you know, want to believe in the state and federal governments acting in the best interests of all constituents, but the activities with respect to the state government and the federal government's support of the unions really call that into question in a way that is deeply disappointing, I think, for all Victorians.
Last week we saw other independent MPs, Allegra Spender and Zali Steggall, announce their plans to form a new political party, Community Strong Australia. What was your reluctance to joining them?
I was elected as an independent, and the people of Kooyong set me to this place as an independent. That's the promise I made to them, and that's the promise that I intend to keep. It's a great pleasure and a privilege to represent an electorate as their representative. The parties are the problem. People are frustrated with the parties.
Do you think it was a mistake for them to band together and make a new party given that?
I think it was incredibly brave and ballsy of them. You know, to start a new party is not a small thing, and the reality is that
brave and wise, or brave and crazy?
Well, time will tell. But the thing is, you know, we are independents and small parties are completely disadvantaged by the donation reform that the government brought in the last term of government. And we all want to have as much effect as we possibly can. So I applaud their courage and I look on with interest, but I'm very happy as an independent.
What do you think of the name, Community Strong Australia?
I thought Competent Sheila's Australia, which is what the Batuta suggested, was a great alternative.
So often Batuta is on the money there. Monique Ryan, thanks very much for speaking to me this morning.
Thanks very much, Mel.